Well, here in Spain, it's time for our conversation with Reverend Frank's Chris McCann. How are you, Chris, today?
I'm very well, Howard. And how are you?
I'm well. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah. The UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, presented his spring statement a couple of weeks ago. We haven't yet discussed the various announcements he made. So Reverend Franks and Chris will correct that this week, as many of our listeners have assets in both Spain and the UK. First of all, Chris, this was a spring statement rather than a spring budget. What's the difference?
Well, typically the UK government outlines its annual economic plans in the autumn budget, usually held in October. The Industry Act of 1975 established the duty of publishing two economic forecasts, with the first published in December 1976. Until 2017, the budget was published in March, ahead of the new fiscal year. But from 2017, the government moved the budget to the autumn, introducing a spring statement at the halfway point of the budgeted year. The first spring statement took place in March 13th, 2018. Whilst both the spring statement and the autumn budget feature speeches in the House of Commons by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, there are differences between the two. The statement is often described as a mini budget and is more like an update of how the economy is doing, not a change to tax or spending.
Everyone's worried about inflation and the rising cost of energy prices at the moment. Did the Rishi Sunak's budget include any measures to improve the situation for UK residents?
With inflation in the UK hitting a 30-year high of 6.2 in February, Mr. Sunak delivered more than the usual spring economic update. The Chancellor pledged an immediate cut to fuel tax to last for 1 year, a rise in the national insurance threshold, and a promise to lower income tax in 2024. As regards fuel and living costs, the government has cut the duty on petrol and diesel by 5p per litre for 12 months, which took effect from 6pm on the 23rd of March, equating to a one-off cost of £2.4 billion. Homeowners who use energy-efficient materials, such as solar panel roofing and heat pumps, will have VAT on those items reduced to 0% for 5 years. Local UK authorities will also receive £500 million for the Household Support Fund, an initiative that will create a £1 billion fund to help vulnerable, low-income households tackle the difficulty of rising energy costs.
Did it include any other measures to help the economy in these uncertain times?
The statement presented plans to tackle general economic pressures exacerbated by the upsetting events unfolding in Ukraine. The Chancellor announced a £6 billion personal tax cut for 30 million people across the UK by increasing the annual national insurance primary threshold and lower profits limit from £9,880 to £12,570 from July 2022, bringing it in line with the income tax personal allowance. Effectively, this means no tax is payable on income earned below this amount for employees and those who are self-employed. In addition, the employment allowance, which reduces employer national insurance contributions, will increase as of April 2022, reducing employer contributions by up to £5,000 a year. The increase could create more jobs in the UK as companies can effectively employ 4 more people full-time on national minimum wage without paying any employer national insurance contributions.
Budgets usually include some tax rises or tax cuts. Were there any reforms announced this time?
Well, as I mentioned previously, the statement doesn't normally introduce changes to tax or spending. So one of the more surprising announcements made by Mr. Sunak came at the end of his speech, where he pledged for the first time in 16 years that income tax will be cut by 1% before the end of Parliament in 2024. In other words, the government will reduce the basic rate of income tax to 19%, which will apply to the basic rate of non-savings and non-dividend income for taxpayers. In relation to the collection of tax, as part of an ongoing initiative, the government will be providing £48.8 million of funding over the next 3 years to support the creation of a new public sector fraud authority and enhance counter-fraud work across the British Business Bank and the National Intelligence Service. The government will also be investing £161 million over the next 5 years to increase compliance and debt management capacity of Her Majesty's Custom and Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. This investment is forecast to bring in more than £3 billion of additional tax revenue over the next 5 years by funding additional HMRC staff to provide greater support to taxpayers seeking to pay off accrued tax debts and to tackle the most complex tax risks.
Could these changes impact our listeners who live here in Spain?
Most of these changes will have an impact on UK taxpayers. And assuming most of our listeners live in Spain, don't present any major changes that will materially affect them.
So can you remind us about last year's tax freezes? Have these affected our listeners?
What we saw last year is the Chancellor adopting a strategy of freezing allowances, exemptions and reliefs, which was clearly designed to raise more tax revenue as people's income, capital gains and asset values grow. By 2025, the Chancellor is expected to raise around £2 billion from freezing or maintaining thresholds. Whilst many of our listeners will be resident in Spain, if they have pension funds or other assets back in the UK, they could be adversely affected by such changes. The Chancellor introduced a painful freeze to the pension's lifetime allowance. The allowance has been dramatically cut over the last decade and is now frozen at £1,073,100 until 2026. Whilst this may look high, it is leading to a growing number of savers risking breaching this limit. It's not hard to see that with good investment returns, many people who are likely to consider themselves a long way from the cap at present could be caught out. For example, a 6% investment return over the next 9 years would take someone with £686,000 today over the limit, even if they are no longer making contributions. Similarly, at a more modest rate of 4%, someone with £882,000 will breach the limit within 5 years. The lifetime allowance is effectively punishing those who have done the right thing and save regularly over the course of their lives. With inflation on the rise, that punishment is greater and more wide-reaching. The rate of tax you pay on pension savings above the lifetime allowance depends on how the money is paid to you. At 55% on lump sums and 25% on regular pension payments or cash withdrawals. It's worth noting that HMRC will automatically test where you sit within the allowance whenever you take the money out. When you reach 75 years of age, and finally on death. Freezing the lifetime allowance alone is expected to net the Treasury approximately £990 billion by 2026, pushing an extra 10,000 people over the threshold. UK inheritance tax exemptions, allowances and reliefs were also frozen for the next 5 years. The tax-free nil rate band allowance stays at £325,000 per person, which is unchanged since 2009. The residential nil rate band, which provides extra tax relief when passing a main home to direct descendants, remains at £175,000 per person. The Treasury collected £5.2 billion in inheritance taxes in the 2019-2020 tax year. With these latest freezes, they expect to generate an additional £15 million next year, increasing to £445 million by 2026.
Do a lot of UK nationals who live in Spain pay UK income tax? And is there anything they can do to protect themselves against UK tax rises?
For some expatriates, on one level, changes in the UK environment won't mean a great deal, as they will be paying tax in their country of residence, i.e. Spain. However, for expatriates with UK assets, such as property and pension funds, it could have a bearing on the future value of your assets. So it is worth sitting down with a local Blevins Franks partner and considering whether there are suitable options and alternatives. For most expatriates, it's important to realise that most UK taxes are voluntary and can be avoided. There are options you could consider, and it may be worth reviewing your position whilst the UK appears to have put tax rises on hold for the moment.
Do you think the Spanish government will be taking any further steps to reduce the impact of energy and fuel prices here in Spain, and or announce any tax rises or cuts in the near future?
Well, I'm sure everybody is well aware of what's been going on in the last few weeks. I personally haven't been able to buy my normal bottle of semi-skim milk for a while because there seems to be a run on it. But I think Spain's been gripped by unrest since the 14th of March, when lorry drivers launched an open-ended strike over mounting fuel prices, staging roadblocks, picket lines, and leaving supermarkets with empty shelves and several sectors struggling to cope. The government is also facing a strike by fishermen who downed tools following calls by the Federation of nearly 9,000 boats, which says diesel prices have left many vessels working at a loss. There's also anger in the livestock and farming sector, which has been hit by rising animal feed costs, with nearly 150,000 protesters demonstrating in Madrid. Despite taking various measures in recent months to improve low wages and contain energy prices by lowering VAT and tax on electricity production, the government's efforts have all been wiped out by spiralling inflation. In response to social unrest, Spain announced of €16 billion in direct aid and soft loans to help companies and households weather high energy prices. At a recent corporate event, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said that the war response shock plan will protect industries and citizens. This 3-month plan came into force on the 1st of April. I think it's also worth noting that Spain and Portugal recently secured permission to implement temporary measures to curb their electricity prices. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said this special treatment was possible because the Iberian Peninsula was largely detached from the rest of the EU power grid. Pedro Sanchez is also trying to thrash out the details of an Iberian exception for Spain and Portugal that will also allow them to cap gas prices.
Interesting times and uncertain times, Chris.
It seems so. I'm waiting for a really quite a nice period of calm. But it doesn't, new issues seem to be appearing all the time.
So if people are concerned about their financial future, Blevins Frank's website is a great first port of call.
Yeah, listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to find the contact details of all our local partners. If they can also fill in a contact form on the website, and if they do, somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch as soon as possible to arrange the most appropriate next step.
Many thanks. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thanks very much, Howard. Look forward to it.